program. I'm Lori Rubenson, talking sports, having fun with you here on The Fan. 888-808-1019. That is the phone number. Mike Fliegelman, he's producing. Peter Schwartz on the updates. And Giants fans, phone lines are open. 888-808-1019. Or you can hit me up on Twitter, at L. Rubenson. And, you know what? I run one of the most sort of, you know, I try and take this show seriously. I really do. I try and take this show seriously. But tonight, I'll tell you what. We are going to have a little fun later on tonight because the New York Giants at this point are laughable. You can either cry or you can laugh at the New York Giants. They are the doormat, the joke of the league. And so there is a gentleman, Hefe, who does incredibly funny videos about the New York Giants and about the patheticness of the situation of New York Giants fans. And he will be joining me as my guest at around 1:15-ish. So you can keep it tuned here for that, for Hefe. But first we start with the Giants themselves. And look, the relevant questions are, one, is this rock bottom for the New York Giants? Two, what made you, as a Giants fan, want to barf more? Watching the Giants play today or watching Saquon Barkley go off for over 300 yards tonight for the Eagles? And oh, by the way, newsflash here. Daniel Jones, who the Giants obviously ditched, and I get it on all of that, but the ultimate chef's kiss, by the way, would be if Daniel Jones, who will be a free agent on Monday afternoon, he becomes a free agent, and then we find out what contending team Daniel Jones will choose to go to, and the chef's kiss out of all of this would be if he chose the Eagles. Because he's a better backup quarterback right now than Kenny Pickett is. And wouldn't that be a laugh at Giants fans and Giants expense to see that? Howie Roseman getting in another laugh before the Eagles face the Giants in the last game of the season. And I don't know, I guess maybe it's better to keep Pickett around so that they can lose their last game of the season against the Giants and F up a Giants draft pick. That's where all this is heading. And meanwhile, the other questions that are relevant, has Brian Daboll now lost the locker room? That's always a term that gets a word set that gets thrown around. We know it in baseball and football, you know, whatever, like other sports. Did the coach lose, the manager, whomever? Did you lose the clubhouse? Did you lose the locker room? We talk about that. We throw it around. But when your players, after a bad loss where you just got smacked around, embarrassed, humiliated, 30-7 loss. And it's one thing, losing 30-7, if this were, you know, you were playing the Lions and you lost 30-7. All right, I mean, it's bad, but whatever. But the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I'm not saying they're a bad football team, Tampa Bay. They're not. But they came into this game against the Giants on Sunday with a 4-6 record. 4-6. And they had been losers of their last four games. And admittedly, they got Mike Evans back on Sunday. But he's not 100%, and Chris Godwin's out for the year. They didn't have Tristan Wirfs. They still have injuries. Every team's got injuries. Lost 4 in a row. 4-6 record. And they came in, and they were a defense that had been giving up a ton to other teams. Here. I mean, let's go back. Let's see. Here's what's been happening to their defense. Against the Falcons, they gave up 36 points. Next game against the Saints, 27 points. Next game against the Ravens, 41 points. Next game against the Falcons again, 31 points. Next game against the Chiefs, 30 points. And against the 49ers, who we know are depleted at this point, but they still did have Purdy, I guess, although he was playing injured or whatever, they lost. They gave up 23 points. And that's what this defense has been doing lately. The Buccaneers giving up a lot of points. Giants managed 7. And even that 7 was really at a point where the game was over. The Giants were down 30-0. And we were in the phone it in part of the game. And the Giants with Tommy DeVito. By the way, the answer to the question, you don't have to call in and ask about this. Answer this. I'm not asking you. Brian Daboll said Tommy DeVito was going in to give the offense a spark. Well, if you're waiting to start a fire with that spark, you're going to wait a long time. No spark. None. None at all. No spark. And I don't know what people expected, but Giants were abysmal. And after the game, their best player, their captain, their team leader, the anchor of that locker room, whether it's offense, defense, special teams, everybody, the centrifugal force of this Giants team is Dexter Lawrence. He is by far their best player. Respected veteran. And Dexter Lawrence called the team soft after the game. Called his team soft. And then Malik Nabers, opposite side of things, rookie with first round draft pick with star potential. We saw this earlier in the season before he got injured. Malik Nabers also called the team soft. And Malik Nabers, by the way, you can see, I think he is about 2 games away. Well, here's a question for you. So I'm not asking you if Tommy DeVito provided a spark, because the answer is no. We all saw that. I guess the question I'll give you is over, under, how many games until Malik Nabers gets into a fight with a kicking net? Because I've got Odell Beckham Jr. premonitions here. The only sad part is he didn't get the whole glorious Odell Beckham Jr. with Eli Manning first season, best catch ever in prime time against the Cowboys. He didn't get that season. Instead, his rookie year is this, where he's questioning after the game. He says it's not the quarterbacks. He wants to know how come it took until the second half for him to have the football thrown his way. If he's, which he is, by the way, the best player on offense on this team, it's not really a big question. Did not have a target, not a football thrown his way in the first half. And I understand the Giants didn't have a ton of plays. The offense wasn't particularly good. How do you know? We all know this about receivers, about prima donna wide receivers. You have to get them involved early, right? Everybody knows that. So, okay, maybe not the first series, but how do you not throw a football his way? Try an end around. I don't care. Jet sweep. Just throw a damn football his way. Keep him engaged in the first half. But nothing. Thrown his way. And just comment after sad comment by Giants players. And so where do you go from here? John Mara had given Brian Daboll, Joe Shane, the old classic vote of confidence. Not just that he was going to keep their jobs this season, they were safe, he told us. But he thought for next season. So, yeah, that was said. But when a player, a respected veteran like Jermaine Illuminor, who was the happiest guy in the world to be coming to the Giants, when you saw from the Raiders all the comments in the offseason, this guy was so thrilled to be a New York Giant, glowing all over social media, so happy in the interviews, thrilled to be a Giant, proud of it. His quote after the game, he got injured in the game and was out, and the offensive line went down from there, but he was injured today, but did play. And when asked after the game, said, "I personally don't think everybody is giving 100%. Okay. So, Malik Nabers, here's a quote. "It ain't the quarterback. Same outcome when we had DJ at quarterback. Take a look. It ain't the quarterback." Now, that's debatable whether or not it is also part of the problem, the quarterback. But whether he's right or wrong in diagnosing it, what are the players saying to us? They're saying the team is soft. They're saying players aren't giving 100%. Who are they criticizing? Is Brian Daboll losing this locker room? And if he is, as much as John Mara may want to keep him and keep continuity because he values that and loyalty, and he keeps making these changes, does he have to make a change? 888-808-1019. I'm going to grab one call. We'll take a break. And then we'll come right back. Let's let first one up. Robbie and Lake Success. Robbie, well, I don't even know what to say. What do you say about this?
You said it all. I mean, you ask a few questions here. They totally hit rock bottom. We go back a long way. I go back to, I'm sick, 100 years. I'm alive to 63 of them, and I went to my first game in 1968. So for a lot of your listeners, I lived through.
Yeah, let me ask you a question, because you've lived through, yeah, so 63 years.
68, that was a long time ago, but
yeah,
go ahead.
A really, 68 years, a really long time of watching Giants football. You and I both do remember the sign flying over the stadium,
yep.
15 years, fans paid for. It was a terrible time. Yeah, yes. And fans pay for a sign to be flown over the stadium of a Giants game that says
79. I remember.
That says 15 years of lousy football. We've had enough. And after that, of course, famously, the commissioner basically, you know.
And George Young came in and saved us.
Yeah, cajoles Wellington Merritt into hiring a real general manager and George Young, and things turn around from there. But I know that, you know, obviously you were much younger then. I'm trying to compare eras. And when I think about, like, rock bottom, and what does that really mean for this Giants franchise?
I got the answer.
Yeah.
This is rock bottom. 73, they went 6-0. In preseason, they won two games. 74, I believe they won two games. 75, they went to Shea. I think they won five games. I mean, just remember off the top of my head here. They obviously 78, the fumble. 79, what we just talked about. 81, so from when I was 20 years old, they got to the playoffs for the first time. I'm already in college, and I lived through all that hell. So the younger fans, they're going through it now, but this is, and I'll tell you why it's the worst that I've ever seen. Because at least back then, the defense was pretty good at times.
They
you had John Mendenhall. You had some players in there that really, Pat Hughes. There's certain players in there, Spider Lockett. There's players that played well, and they had a couple of decent seasons, kind of like they had here. But going forward, it's so bad now. There's no direction, and Daboll has to go. He after today with the team basically showing that they've lost the locker room at this particular point, and there's no way you can keep this guy. There's no way they're going to basically probably lose out. And at this point, I hope they do. You know, I want Bill Belichick here. I've been saying it for 3 years. I know we talked about he doesn't want to come to a team like this.
Yeah, I've said to you is let's just think about this rationally from his perspective. And
now, go ahead. I'm not going to finish it. But when you make your point,
no sense for him.
It makes no sense to him. But you know what? The only way, the only guy I want in here is him. He's got 8 Super Bowl rings. I don't want to hear people telling me he's old and all of this crap.
I want world peace. You know what? There's lots of things, you know, that we want. And thanks for the call, Robbie. I hear you. Robbie's been saying Bill Belichick for weeks. There are plenty of Giants fans, and we can debate this. Plenty of Giants fans who do not want any part of Bill Belichick. Plenty of Giants fans who would be happy to have him. certainly as a head coach, as a personnel guy, I think that the personnel Bill Belichick guy hurt the head coach Bill Belichick guy, who is the greatest coach of all time, in my opinion. But if you're Bill Belichick, he will come back to coaching, I believe, but he wants to pass Don Shula for the all-time record of most wins by a head coach in the NFL. And I think off the top of my head, I think he is 14 games short. Something like 13 or 14 games. I think it's 14. So basically he has to win like 7 games for 2 seasons and he would get there. What part of this New York Giants franchise makes you think that anytime soon you're winning, passing Don Shula? Like, it just would be aggravating. It would be annoying. And at this point, he's 72 years old. Bill Belichick, he's going to go someplace where there is a quarterback. He also saw that with the Patriots, how bad and bleak things can be when you don't have a quarterback. Now, he doesn't have to have Tom Brady, but a decent quarterback. That's what he's going to want. And there will be better spots available. I've thrown out there for Belichick that I don't know that the Bengals will make a move, but underperforming yet again, and you're wasting Joe Burrow's career, and you can kind of feel that way if you're the Bengals. And at this point, I don't think it's about money for Bill Belichick. It's about wins, passing Don Shula, all-time winningest head coach, and then, of course, a chance to compete for a Super Bowl. Well, if you have Joe Burrow, you have that chance. So that would be spot number one if I'm Belichick and I have that opportunity. But also, I don't know, you could look at the Jaguars, you know, depending on what you think of Trevor Lawrence. I happen to think the Bears job, it depends on what you think of Caleb Williams. I think they'll go with a young offensive coach, probably like a Ben Johnson or something like that, the Lions offensive coordinator. But I just don't think Belichick, Giants fans, is coming. And the question is Mara even going to make a change? What is John Mara thinking right now? What is he thinking right now?